Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. We review every legal demand and push back against those that are overbroad. We have got that story, plus aliens exist. But first, the Epstein workforce reduction, diddler downsizing, if you will. Revelations in Epstein files lead to resignations, investigations all around the world. Grabbing just this little teaser piece from the New York Times that really kind of puts it into all the perspectives. Epstein revelations stir chaos from Scandinavia to South Asia. Disclosures in documents released by the Trump administration have roiled the world, leading to resignations and the threat of legal charges far beyond American borders. A French politician famed as a cultural icon of the 80s and 90s, a Norwegian diplomat who played a role in the secret talks that yielded the Oslo Accords between Israel and the Palestinians, a well-connected Slovak former minister who served as president of the United Nations General Assembly, three prominent officials tripped up by their associations with the late Jeffrey Epstein, and they are far from the only ones. Mr. Epstein, financier and convicted sexual offender, collected friends and associates in an astonishing array of places. Now, several of them are being brought down by the unsavory details of their relationships, some after Epstein was convicted in 2008, which were revealed in the nearly 3 million pages of documents released by the Justice Department finally in the United States. And look at the Dow. Jack Lang, who once served as France's cultural minister, announced on Saturday he would resign as the head of Arab World Institute, a prestigious cultural institution in Paris, after French authorities said they were investigating reports that he and his family had financial links to Epstein. Mona Jule, who had been Norway's ambassador to Jordan and Iraq, quit after disclosures of financial dealings between her and her husband and Mr. Epstein. I don't hear anything about child trafficking. Mizorav Lajcak, the national security advisor to Slovakia's prime minister Robert Fico, stepped down following the release of emails between him and Mr. Epstein in which the two men appeared to banter about young women. There we go. Clearly, he had a very extensive system, President Emmanuel Macron of France said this week, referring to Mr. Epstein's vast network of contacts. This also fuels a lot of conspiracy theories and everything else. And of course, a lot of the world would say Macron would know about mysterious conspiracy theories. But James, I've been saying it for a lot on my morning show anymore. We did it, you guys. We red-pilled the entire planet. James, this has now turned lots of things upside down. I have heard this referred to as QAnon for the left set now that they have now their whole conspiracy sticky wicket that they can get into. And we've discussed the possible red herrings and literal fakes and canards that are in these Epstein files. But man, it keeps on going. People wouldn't be quitting if it wasn't nothing.
No, exactly right. But to put it in today's meme language, yeah, they may be sacrificing your children in blood drinking sacrifice rituals to Molech, but the Dow is up $50,000 or whatever Bondi was saying, whatever nonsense. Absolutely ridiculous. But unfortunately, yeah, I have seen some independent media outlets with the bizarre bad hot take of it's all a psyop and a distraction and nothing to see here and nothing's coming of it and who cares, and if you're wasting your time looking into it, and have now spent more time actively discouraging people from examining this information than actually talking about it. But anyway, weird. But yeah, this is, I saw a great analogy in the comment section the other day, and I'll do my best to do justice to it here. It's like we've been gaslit for decades. There's no such thing as red M&Ms. There are no red M&Ms. They don't exist. And the kleptocrats and the kakistocracy crew have been taking the red M&Ms out of every bag of M&Ms and handing it to us. See, there's no such thing as red M&Ms. And finally, we got a bag where, some of the red M&M crumbs are at the bottom of this bag. And like, here it is, guys. Yeah, red M&Ms exist. We've been telling you this all this time. And here it is. Here's the evidence. We can show you actual stuff. And it's from them. So, you know, you can't say it was. But there's other people saying, don't even look in the bag. Who cares? It's a weird situation. But here we are. And it continues to spill forth. It's not only British royalty and British gentry, Norwegian royalty and Dubai billionaires and incredibly important businessmen and financiers getting sacked left and right. Things are happening. Yes, this is this is by definition a limited hangout, because we know that they kept half of the documents back, right? Including ones involving child abuse and murder. So yeah, we know they are keeping the worst stuff. But what has been released so far not only contains those red M&M crumbs, but it contains a lot of very, very interesting information. This is truly the most incredible peek into the functioning, the actual functioning of the kakistocracy that we've had in decades, probably going back to the Church Committee, which itself was a limited hangout to some extent, but still valuable information came out. So absolutely, I'm looking into this. And in fact, as you say, this nothing that I have ever seen in all the time we've been doing this has red-pilled more people more quickly, to go from being the arms crossed, no, the conspiracy theory, blah, 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 to, yeah, they're probably sacrificing children and all of this stuff. Like, it's incredible. And just as one case in point, look at the front page of Reddit today, and seen in a bookstore in Oslo, Epstein Island guest list. And it's this, it's a bookstore in Oslo where they have this section dedicated to the Epstein Island guest list. And it's Clinton, and it's Trump, and it's Musk, and it's Noam Chomsky. And, you know, like, and again, it's millions of people around the world are seeing this, commenting on it, understanding who these people are, their connections, Bill Gates, etc. Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. This is incredible. And there's a lot of information in there. So anyway, all that to say, this weekend in my newsletter, I'm going to be writing about the Israeli spying after Epstein, because, you know, Epstein, the character, has been written off of the stage in whatever way he actually exited the stage. So how does Israeli spying work now that they don't have the Epstein honeypot trap to do their tricks? So if people are interested in that, they can check that out this weekend.
James, remind me to throw a plug in for our Octopus radio play at the end of this episode, where, again, it's now common knowledge. Oh, you mean that software they stole and installed a backdoor with Ghislaine's dad and the Mossad, and probably let Epstein and possibly bin Laden run around and do their thing for decades? James, didn't they also just sort of invent red M&Ms only a decade or so ago? They weren't always there, right?
Maybe. Anyway, it's a weird analogy, but it just stuck out to me when I read it.
And we do have a list of a few more of the individuals that we were talking about. Dubai world boss, a Norwegian diplomat. Goldman Sachs Rumler, as Epstein scandal claims Obama's former lawyer. Not the last time we'll hear about him on this episode. Hyatt Executive Chairman Thomas Pritzker resigns over Epstein ties. But yeah, my joke was going to be, are you still talking about Epstein? Get over it, man. They got us. And that's the real fascinating echo of what a real life friend said to me, talking about 9/11 still, to exactly what Trump noted rather extensively in said Epstein files. Are you still talking about this? Reddit, I believe, had a fantastic thread on Pizzagate a decade ago that, of course, they pulled, and all that is all crazy. I saw one meme of, I think it's
and I saw a Pizzagate thread on the front page of Reddit the other day. And it's like, oh, we can talk about it again, guys.
Oh, man. Well, and again, as I've said many times, for now, it costs nothing to be a patriot. Celebrate out there that people like us and thousands of others like us did the kind of work we've done for the last 20 years, so that now, sitting around the dinner table, people can go, man, did you read some of those Epstein emails? Those seem weird. They talk about jerky a lot. Holy moly. A lot of strange stuff in there, James. And that is how we get going on New World Next Week, episode 620, our second story. Hitting kind of close to the Media Monarchy Discord, as we know things are getting pretty dicey there. And I've just built up more and more at MediaMonarchy.com and removing a lot of the middlemen. Homeland Security reportedly sends hundreds of subpoenas to identify ICE critics online. Grabbing this from Engadget, everything we say, all our wild accusations that we've made for, again, our separate 20 years, always sort of sourced and cited down below. DHS, Homeland Stupidity, I like to call them on my show, has reportedly been asking tech companies for information on accounts posting anti-ICE sentiments. Now, that sounds kind of low level. According to the New York Times, DHS has sent hundreds of administrative subpoenas to Google, Reddit, Discord, and Meta over the past few months. DHS has asked for the companies for names and email addresses and telephone numbers and any other identifying details for accounts that have criticized U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, the hated ICE, or have reported the locations of its agents, the ever-popular doxing. Google, Meta, and Reddit, you just smash all their names together, complied with some of the requests. Administrative subpoenas are different from warrants and are issued by the DHS. This is oftentimes, too, they can get you in this whole Kafka-esque bureaucracy legalese. And wait, Simon says, put my mask back on? The Times says they are rarely used in the past and were mostly sent to companies for the investigations of serious crimes, you know, like child trafficking. The thing many figures in this and previous administrations have been at least cursorily involved in, at least through their private military contractors. Apparently, though, the government has ramped up its use in the past year. It's a whole other level of frequency and lack of accountability, Steve Loney, a senior supervising attorney for the ACLU, told the New York Times. The ACLU was really there for us during the scamdemic. Companies can choose whether to comply with the authorities or not, and some of them give the subject of a subpoena up to 14 days to fight it in court, which a lot of these companies are basically saying, we're going to look at it, hold on. Google told the Times that its review process for government requests is designed to protect user privacy while meeting our legal obligations, and that it informs users when their accounts have been subpoenaed, unless they're not allowed to, and that is the hated NSLs we've talked about before, national security letters. That's when the man comes to tell you you're in trouble, and you can't tell anybody the man told you you're in trouble. So you suddenly start to act like a weirdo, and people think you're a spook or an agent. We review every legal demand and push back against those that are overbroad, the company said. Some of the accounts that were subpoenaed belong to users posting ICE activity in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania, on Facebook and Instagram in English and Spanish. Now, that sounds rather specific. The DHS asked Meta for their names and details on 9/11, and the users were notified about it back on October 3rd. The ACLU filed a motion in court for the users, arguing the DHS is using administrative subpoenas as a tool to suppress speech of people it doesn't agree with. In late January, Meta started blocking links to ICE List, a website that lists thousands of ICE and Border Patrol agents' names. A few days ago, House Judiciary Committee member Jamie Raskin, the hated Democrat from Maryland, also asked Apple and Google to turn over all their communications with the aforementioned Department of Justice to investigate the removal of ICE tracking apps from their respective app stores. Just like how Apple always removed that drone strike app that would track all the times drones killed innocent civilians, Apple didn't play that game. But now again, since Orange Man is so bad, everybody suddenly, finally grew a friggin' spine and they're standing up to Orange Man. And also, all that work the previous administration did, colluding with social media to limit what speech you might have online, man, all that crap's paying off now. Again, none of this happens in a vacuum. Trump could not be doing what he's done if Obama didn't continue on with what Bush started. I've been covering some classic ACLU articles and posts lately, James, on my morning show, where they call Obama, you know, the deporter in chief, and this guy's bad. He's embracing legal theories even worse than John Yoo. And again, we'll talk a little bit more about Obama on this episode. But just to put it succinctly, the Department of Homeland Security has sent legal requests to Google, Reddit, Meta, and Discord for the names, email addresses, telephone numbers, and identifying data of accounts that track and criticize ICE. Now, you just going on Twitter and saying, F ICE, probably not going to do it. If you're talking about specific dudes in your town on your local ISP, yeah, you're probably doing it wrong, James.
Yeah, and we saw that recent clip that went viral of that agent saying, "Oh, you're on the list now." And what list? Oh, we're keeping this information, yeah. And they're taking photographs of people, etc. So, you know, you make an incredibly important point, and one that we take for granted. But let's remember, hey, maybe there are some people who are finally switching into conspiracy reality after many decades of poo-pooing it, who are new to all of this. So let's spell it out in black and white. There is a thing called a principle. And the principle is, it's a bad thing when the government can go sneaking around, finding information about you, doxing you behind your back, and taking information and collecting it from the big tech oligarchs they are colluding with. That is a bad thing. Whether the person in the White House has a D or an R after their name, it doesn't matter. Because here's the mind-blowing thing. It was wrong when Obama did it. It was wrong when Trump did it. It was wrong when Biden did it. It's wrong when Trump does it again. It's wrong under all of these administrations because that doesn't matter. It is the left and right boots marching forwards towards tyranny. I know our regular listeners know this, but I know there are many, many, many millions who are just now, as you say, getting outraged about these things, not realizing it's because these are the exact powers that you supported when your preferred puppet was being puppeteered in the White House. Anyway, I do have faith that people are waking up to this. Maybe not enough, maybe not quickly enough, I don't know, but at any rate, they are waking up. And once they start to realize that, man, can you imagine if people stopped giving up on this stupid left-right team politics rather than waking up to conspiracy reality? Anyway, we're on the cusp of it.
We certainly are. I would not have wagered that the Epstein files might have a greater effect of waking people up than 9/11 and COVID. But I would also argue they couldn't have maybe reached this point, the people out there waking up, had there not been something like COVID. We know that that red pilled a lot of people. I know it happened to some in my family. And some of the times that they started to stay up a little later at night, again, that work had been done. So, like I said, the bad doesn't happen in a vacuum, but neither does the good. It's got to be built on, hopefully, the good work that we have done over these last couple of decades, man. Our third and final story, Obama says aliens exist but are not kept in Area 51. Taking this from Zero Hedge, former U.S. President Barack Obama said on a Valentine's Day podcast interview that aliens are real, but that none are kept at the secretive Area 51 military base in the Nevada desert, later adding that he didn't see any evidence indicating that extraterrestrials have contacted Earth during his presidency. That is a funny little asterisk to add. Not under my 8 years. In the interview, when asked, are aliens real? Obama replied, they're real, but I haven't seen them, and they're not being kept in Area 51. There's no underground facility unless there's this enormous conspiracy and they hid it from the president of the United States. Forces would never act against the president of the United States before and blackmail him out of office on a whole Bay of Pigs thing. Obama became the first leader. This is, again, we are in unprecedented times. Obama became the first leader of the United States to affirm the existence of extraterrestrial life when questioned by progressive podcaster Brian Tyler Cohen in a video posted to YouTube. After the interview, of course, it went viral. Obama said on Instagram, and again, the news is just advertisements for their police state buddies. This entire Nancy Guthrie thing. Every day it's some new story about the police are using invasive new materials to find out what happened to Grandma. It's always, it's an advertisement for their agendas, often. Obama said on Instagram that he wanted to clarify his comments to go after, of course, all of this blew up, writing that he was trying to stick with the spirit of the speed round while speaking on the podcast. Statistically, the universe is so vast that the odds are good that there's life out there. But the distances between solar systems are so great that the chances we've been visited by aliens is low, and I saw no evidence during my presidency that extraterrestrials have made contact with us. Really? Exclamation mark. In 2013, Obama was possibly the first U.S. leader to acknowledge the existence of Area 51 on an Air Force base built during the Cold War, which has long been rumored to house extraterrestrials and unidentified flying objects. Cohen did not ask Obama a follow-up question on the issue. Instead, he asked the former president what his first question had been upon entering the White House, and this I feel like we had heard before, James. I feel like this has been a bit of the repeated, they have lines. They have things they like to repeat. And I feel like this was something I'd heard them say on their talk shows before. What's the first question you're going to ask? Where are the aliens? Obama joked in response. Some critics said Cohen should have asked Obama for more information about aliens. When a former president of the United States says on the record there are aliens, you follow up with relevant questions. You do not continue reading from your script, the angry crowd said on Twitter. The U.S. government first acknowledged Area 51's existence in 2013 through a Freedom of Information request and has declassified documents detailing its history and purpose. The base has been a testing ground for a host of top-secret aircraft, and as I have often said in the past on Monarchy, there's UFOs, they're just not aliens, they're not Martians. including the U-2 in the 1950s and later the F-117 stealth fighter. Obama says aliens exist but are not kept in Area 51. Of course, they're all in Minnesota. Remember, the ACLU called Obama deporter-in-chief, so it's really fascinating again to hear this discussion of aliens and the aliens that we want and the aliens that we don't want and when our minds change as who's talking about it. The ACLU, again, said Obama embraced legal theories worse than John Yoo, the guy that said really gross things about what you're allowed to do fighting them terrorists. In related news, and this was on the all Super Bowl commercial breaks, Spielberg's first sci-fi film in almost a decade gets stunning new look at Super Bowl. It is called Disclosure. And James, I believe you said it does not look stunning, but it still, it feels like the whole Obama-Clinton crew have only always still been stuck on the, it's UAP, it's unidentified aerial phenomenon. It's not UFO anymore. That's what old fuddy-duddy nerds say. This whole thing, they seemed like they wanted to go ham on, assuming Hillary was going to win America's Next Top President 2016. It seems like they're still on this, we were going to start to yap about this a lot, but Trump ruined everything. James?
Right. Yeah. Just even by itself, this story is weird enough. But yeah, when you situate it in the historical context that maybe some people don't know about, but yeah, not only Hillary, but John Podesta talking about UAPs and yeah, trying to school marm lecture people. It's not UFO, it's UAP. If that was going to be some talking point for the Hillary administration or something. And yeah, Obama's into this. Of course, we've all heard the clip of Reagan talking about, imagine if there was an alien invasion and how the world would come together. We could go back to Lawrence Rockefeller funding the OG disclosure movement, you know, the better part of a century ago. I mean, it's crazy. Some of the names and people that have been involved in this very shady part of the revelation of the real deep state. It's actually aliens, guys, or at least that's what they've been prepping the public for a very long time. And along comes everyone's favorite propagandist, Steven Spielberg, to make a big Hollywood production out of it. And yeah, for some reason, that trailer does look terrible to me. It actually does not even look like a big budget Hollywood schlockfest. It looks pretty stupid. But hey, what do I know? I'm not a movie critic. Having said that, yeah, that obviously, again, this will be old news to many of people in our audience who have heard that Reagan clip and other things before. But for people who are tuning in, this is obviously something that the they, them, those have up their sleeve as the ultimate distraction. You know, wag the dog and, you know, bombing someone in Sudan or something because of some affair in the Oval Office, whatever. No. They're finding out about the child sacrifice. Time to unleash the aliens, guys. If people want to know how that might work, they can check my podcast from, a decade ago now on how to fake an alien invasion, where I talk about some of the preparation, the preparatory propaganda groundwork that has been laid for this particular PSYOP. Anyway, there's, you know, at the very, very least, they constantly keep it on in the back burner, just so in whenever it needs to come out, they can always play the alien card in one way or another. And so, who knows? Is this the year of disclosure? Well, maybe it is. Maybe not in the way that they're trying to shove it down people's throats. We'll see, I guess. But yeah, definitely things are developing here. And man, what a rich historical tapestry, to use that word, that we're weaving here today, because you're talking about blackmailing the president in, you know, a conspiracy to keep things from the president, blackmailing the president about that Bay of Pigs thing to get him out of the office. Obviously, you're talking about Nixon, but the Bay of Pigs itself was the conspiracy that the CIA was running behind JFK's back. And they're like, oops, surprise, we have this whole Cuban army thing ready to go. And it's like, whoa, I didn't know anything about that. I'm not helping you. Yeah, what an incredible, rich historical tapestry. So that's pretty interesting that Obama would phrase it that way, right? Unless there's some kind of conspiracy to keep these things from the president of the United States, you wouldn't believe that, would you guys? Well, actually, yes, I would.
I think we would. Jimmy Carter said he saw UFOs. Now, he didn't say last night while I was asleep in the White House, I saw UFOs outside. He was talking about some far away, long time ago thing. I believe Dennis Kucinich also said he had seen unidentified flying objects as well. And I believe it was Carol Rosen connected to our good Nazi, Wernher von Braun, that we brought over. And you see people that are calling for Nuremberg 2.0. It's like, man, that's not going to matter when they let the biggest criminals run away to South America like they did the previous time. But the final card will be the alien invasion. Wernher von Braun's been pretty dead on about a lot of the stuff he said. And one of his associates, Carol Rosen, was the one who, in years later, kind of brought out a lot of his work. And yes, I can hear her voice saying it. The final card. The final card will be the alien invasion. And maybe they'll try and say it's the fake return of Christ. Who knows? Who knows what else they got up their sleeve? But I think we've read a lot of their playbooks, and we've read a lot of their screenplays, and we've got a pretty decent idea. James Spielberg, of course, is Close Encounters of the Third Kind. The third kind meaning you have actual contact with the aliens. The first kind being just seeing them. And then he did the War of the Worlds remake, which I never saw. Of course, I'm, you know, the Orson Welles fan. And he was the executive producer of the Taken miniseries. I guess now I'm just riffing on. What other alien films has he done? Does AI, does that count as
I think
alien
E.T.
film?
Would be the one most people would think about.
Ah, I was forgetting that biggie.
Yeah, a bit of a biggie. Yeah,
that is a bit of a biggie. So you can see why it might be important that someone like that might be getting back on the disclosure soapbox. We run newworldnextweek.com, where you can find the original Octopus radio play created by the Media Monarchy crew, directed by the fantastic Casbot, that tells the story of the late, great Danny Casolaro, who was on the trail of the Octopus. And all of this now in the news. And James, again, I'm saying I don't see Ghislaine Maxwell being in cupcake prison for too much longer. I do also want to remind people that we run the post office box. If you don't do the digital money thing, we run the post office box. It is here in New Mexico. You can find the address at the bottom of every Media Monarchy page and at the bottom of every New World Next Week show notes list. And that's, again, another great way, another kind of forgotten way, perhaps, that you can help support the work that we have been doing. Again, Media Monarchy is now in its 21st year of broadcast work. And I get to play the exclusive audio of these shows before they're published anywhere. And I'll give even a little extra promotions, James, as this rich tapestry episode just has so much inside it. That is the Lone Gunman pilot episode watch along with James Corbett coming up March 4th, 2026 at 7 p.m. Mountain Time. It is the 25th anniversary, James, pretty much almost to the hour. The 25th anniversary of the infamous X-Files spinoff pilot episode. It is titled Pilot, aired March 4th, 2001. The plot revolves around a government conspiracy to stage a false flag attack by remotely hijacking a Boeing 727 and crashing it into the World Trade Center to justify increased defense spending and profit-driven wars. They aired it once in March 2001, and it entered, of course, instantly into Conspiriana. And James is going to join us for another watch-along. We'll do that in the Media Monarchy Discord while we're still allowed to be in there, James. And we are very excited about that. And really, I'm kind of worn out from being right the last 20 years. Conspiracy realists, save planet, take victory lap, and then take a nap. Let's take next week off. Take a little break. I think we deserve it.
I think so too. And yeah, there will still be Corbett Report content coming out, but yeah, no New World next week. Next week, but then New World next week. Next week. Next week. You got that?
I think I got that. I think it's 2 weeks from now, and I forgot to pimp the Corbett Report ball caps that I forgot existed.
All right, James. Thanks for the stories. As always, thank you for your work, and looking forward to talking to you again in a couple weeks.
All right, buddy. Take care. Thanks.
Take care.